gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! Here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Zelman!
And that's our man in the booth, Scott!
Scott!
And guys, for those of you listening at home, we are coming to you live from Improv Boston in, appropriately, Boston.
Oh, very appropriate.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. And thank all of you guys for coming out to the show. We appreciate it. You're awesome as well.
Yeah. Now, Michael, nice to see you.
Hi, Michael. Hey. For those of you who don't know, we do a show every Tuesday night in New York City talking about comic books with comic
New York
book professionals
City.
Down there.
No.
Yes. And
an old El Paso reference?
On Tuesday, we always, you know, talk about comic book news stuff, what's going on in the past week. And so when we knew we had 2 days to put together a show, we're like, what are we going to do? What's possibly going to happen between Tuesday and Thursday where we could talk about comic books in Boston?
If only there was a crazy story.
If only somebody could let Ben Affleck direct Justice League.
Yeah.
If there was only some way that could happen.
Boo.
Pete, you're not supposed to boo Alex.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't booing Alex.
That's an old theatrical trick. I'm a classically trained actor. So.
Thanks, Justin. We're going to talk about that and a lot more stuff in the show. But we have two amazing guests tonight who have come out. We're very excited to have them. One is the creator of the fantastic comic Secret Asian Man. The other one is the artist from Wednesday Comics Green Lantern. Ladies and gentlemen, talk to us about Joe Quinones.
That was a big entrance, raising your
hands. I know, right?
Like
I got the Knicks colors on and everything for you guys.
Knicks, the Boston Knicks.
And I'm dressed like a picnic table. So
yeah, that's great. Thank you. Now watch out for ants. Was that even a joke?
Watch out for ants?
Watch out for ants?
I don't know. That had the structure of a joke in my head, and then I don't think it was actually.
No, you really sold it. You were like, watch out for ants. Huh? Because they ruined a picnic in a Popeye cartoon once. So
if any of you are t-shirt printers, I'm looking for somebody to print. There was an ant down there.
That's
or
not
some
an
sort
ant.
Of horrible cockroach thing.
No,
great. Let's talk about comic books, guys, and get off of the bugs.
Right.
Joe, thank you so much for coming out to the show. So,
thanks for having me.
You, of course, worked on Wednesday Comics Green Lantern.
Yeah.
That was obviously a while ago, but what was that experience like? I mean, that
it was beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
Thanks.
It was such
a
unique.
We're going to answer
project.
The questions for you. It was beautiful.
Thanks so much for coming
on. What do you think?
Talk. What about you?
I hated it.
What was that experience like?
Happening. it was a lot of fun. Sort of freeing to work as large as I did, which is like, you know, three times the size of a regular comic page.
Yeah, it showcases the art really well.
It was really fun to be included on a project with like so many awesome creators. So, and to be working with Kurt Busiek, which was like a dream. So yeah.
Do you think? Dream. I mean, I don't know how privy you are to this, but a lot of people have wondered about Wednesday Comics too. Do you think DC now would be in any position to publish something like that?
Yes, I think so for sure. There's still like OGNs that are in the works that are kind of exist out of the New 52. And so I think it's definitely in them to do things that are kind of like exist as their own thing. I know Mark Chiarella wants to do it and doesn't want to do it. So maybe it'll happen. I have my fingers crossed. I mean, whether or not I'm involved in it, I think it'd be great to see a sequel.
Cool. Is there, if you were able to tackle another Wednesday Comics, is there another character you would want to do or more Green Lantern?
Well, at the time, when Kurt and I were trying to figure out what we were going to do, we talked about doing Black Canary, which I was excited about. We also talked briefly about doing Dr. Fate, which I would be really excited about.
Speaking of Black Canary, though, you're doing a project with Paul Dini, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I can't. There's not too much I can say because I don't think DC has officially announced it or set a date for it. But it's with Black Canary and Zatanna. It's like a team-up book.
Nice.
Exists out of continuity with New 52. And
does somebody steal all of the fishnets in the world and they have to go after them?
there is a scene where they are shopping for...
That's a joke.
Watch out for ads.
No,
I ruined it.
Go with the successful one is the lesson.
There actually is a scene where they're shopping for fishnets, so like we at least...
Oh, nice.
Spoiler. Make a nod to that. Yeah, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, you guys.
Well, what's it like working with Paul Dini? He's so proficient at working in the Bat universe and working with those characters, Zatanna and Black Canary. What's his take on it, and what's been what has the back and forth been like?
Well, there isn't a ton of back and forth, actually, to be honest.
He's like, draw this.
There was like a script that I got, and I was like, oh, well, sounds great. And I just got to work on it. The back and forth is basically where I, like, little deviations in storytelling, where I'll be like, doing layouts and say, how about this instead? And he's usually extremely open to it. Yeah. First he says shut up, then he comes around. So it's been really easy, actually, working with him.
Cool. And the other thing you're working on right now, you're doing a lot of covers for, is it just Marvel or is it DC? It's
mostly
as well?
Marvel. A couple other things. There's like an Adventure Time cover I have coming up.
I love that comic.
Yeah, you're a big fan.
Huge fan. Very funny. I love the show, and the comic is like straight out of the show.
It's like a licensed property of
Well, no, but a lot of like licensed properties
straight
adapted
out of the show.
I didn't do that gymnastic move. I didn't attempt that toe touch that you just did. A lot of comics that are licensed sort of are not like the show.
Sure.
Like even Buffy season 8, I feel like totally deviated from the show.
Shut up.
Yeah. Is that my conscience? Yeah.
That was Jiminy Cricket telling you to shut up.
Well, Adventure
Time. That was Paul Dini. It was a tiny little Paul Dini.
I know. He haunts me.
Yes. So what is your approach to covers? Is there really anything different between...
Keep them to one page.
Right. Is there really any difference between how you would approach a cover and interior art other than the story aspect?
In general, I try to give as few options to the editor as possible so that I can do the idea that I want to do. A couple of times I forget that, and just recently, I'm not going to say like what cover it is, but I was doing sketches for...
No, say it.
And the editor like instantly, like right away, just chose my least favorite idea that I just threw in there. I was like, well, maybe just in case they don't like these other ones. And that's, of course, the one they went with. So unless they stipulate it, I'll try and do just one sketch.
What kind of parameters do they give you? Are they like Superman like has to be flexing, or are they like or something like?
What comic books are you reading?
Self-published.
I've never gotten any like classically comic directions like that. Where I even did a Black Widow cover once where they asked me to cover her up more, which I thought was kind of refreshing. I was like, what, really?
Well, she's pretty well covered.
Yeah, she was totally naked at the time, right?
Right.
Like, please, something. Just
all
anything.
Artists do the naked.
That's how I start all my covers, just fully naked, chiaroscuro rendering, and then erase it all.
Yeah, I liked your original covers for Pet Avengers, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
very you. Naked.
That's creepy, man.
Bro, pets are always naked, Pete, if you think about it.
What? Talk. Let's chat with you. So you have a bunch of stuff going on. Do you want to talk about Secret Identities a little bit? Or is it Secret Identities 2?
Two.
Secret Identities 2.
Shattered
is the subtitle.
Oh, shit.
So basically, Secret Identities, it was an anthology that came out a couple years ago. Put out
really well
done. By a bunch of Asian American comic artists and writers and professionals and amateurs kind of across the board to kind of address the dearth of Asian American heroes in comics. So basically what we did was got together, brainstormed, everybody kind of submitted their own thing, teams got paired up, guys like Greg Pak showed up, Larry Hama showed up. So it was nice to, suddenly be in a Bernard Chang, like just kind of people like that, to be in a project with all these people. So as they were going around talking about the comic to colleges, and they're trying to get it into like an academic kind of a track, people started saying, you should do like a villains one, because the villains are more interesting characters. So this second one is about villains. So
Cool.
And what's it like putting together an anthology like this? Is it, I imagine, obviously a lot of time, first of all.
Well, the first one was a lot easier, because all I... I got to interview Larry Hama and turned that into a one pager. So it was, you know, pretty simple, but I got to talk to Larry Hama, which is, you know, fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So that was nice. But then once that was done, kind of my involvement was done, and, you know, and then I had to wait for the book. This time around, there's a lot more people. There's a lot more kind of things coming from all different directions, so they needed help, and including inking help, including, you know, putting layout and putting the book together. So I kind of stepped up and said, let me help you guys out. So I ended up inking a 10-page story by Dheeraj Verma, I think his name is, in India. And he is the artist for the Zombie Combat Manual by Roger Ma.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just like, who's... And I actually wasn't familiar, so I looked him up. I was like, holy shit, it's this guy. So the pages showed up, and they were completely different than what I was used to inking, which is, you know, my stuff is pretty simple looking. And when I used to ink for The Tick, it was also kind of cartoonish looking. So this stuff is coming in super realistic, feathering everywhere.
Well, it's based on a true story.
It's Shaolin monks versus zombies. So that's kind of the 10-pager.
Wow. Right. True story.
But then I saw that and, you know, just kind of jumped at it. I was like, yeah, I want to ink that. So did that. And then now I'm doing the grunt work of putting pages together for the printers.
Cool. And what's going on with Secret Asian Man?
Secret Asian Man. Let's see. I just... a lot of weird anthology stuff. I was just in a anthology fiction book, which was, you know, nice because my pages were the only comics in the whole book. So if you're flipping through it, you can't miss me. I'm like right there. And it was basically a relief kind of a fundraiser book for tsunami victims in Japan. Mm-hmm. So it was basically, you know, it was all these poets and kind of, you know, big name people in Japan getting together and doing this book. And suddenly they were like, hey, you want to do it? You know, want to do something? I was like, can I make it comics? And they're like, sure. So I was in that. So, you know, that's been kind of fun to travel around and talk about. But then I just last week actually got in touch with the people who published that book. And I pitched them on a trade graphic novel of my own. So we're developing that now. So
awesome.
Finally. Cool. So this is a general question for both of you guys, and the answer might be like nothing, but is there anything that characterizes the Boston comic scene in particular? Anything that makes Boston different as a city for making comics than, say, New York or Chicago or Los Angeles or Des Moines?
Other cities.
Keep naming cities.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. No, I ran out. I only know those three.
St. Petersburg, Russia. Yeah. Sydney, Australia.
Well, compared to Tallahassee, it's very different.
It's a huge scene compared to Tallahassee.
Yeah, Tallahassee's crazy.
Yeah. Crazy name.
I don't know how I would compare it against other scenes. I know that it's growing. I know, you know, there's more and more comic artists in the area. James Heron is on BPRD. Yeah. Is local now. Ming Doyle. There were some that were local that I didn't realize until after they had left. I think it was...
Ed McGuinness is around here.
Yeah, Ed McGuinness, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Nick Darrington was here. I didn't realize he lived like in Somerville until way after the fact. This is working against my point.
Yeah.
There's more comic artists.
Yeah.
Well, there's definitely a nice kind of growing scene. And there's a lot of independent. There's a lot of focus on that, and a lot of, you know, the Mass Independent Comics Expo. You know, that's just started. Was it second year now or third year?
Or just the second year?
Maybe second year.
This September.
And it's been growing, and it's, you know, came out of a it was on the second floor of a college in the hallway, and now it's taken over this entire floor of, you know, this large building, and so it's definitely growing. And you know, you got guys sitting, you know, sharing a table this size. You know, selling zines and that kind of thing. So there's definitely a lot of energy, a lot of local guys.
And on the mainstream side as well, I know Boston Comic Con, I think, started and sort of has been gaining popularity like for 3 years now. And that's a great show. That's a really artist-centric show. I think it happens in April around then every year. And I've really enjoyed going every year, so...
We were trying to come up with Boston-based superheroes.
Oh, yeah.
Supervillains. And we couldn't think of any.
Yeah.
What? What's that?
Wonder Woman? Yeah. There you
For
go.
For how long, though?
Yeah. Was she like passing
like a week?
By...
She drove through Boston?
She's like, never mind.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know about this place.
Yeah, you know who? Aunt May. I don't know if that counts as a superhero. Yeah.
Because she moved here recently.
She moved to, you were pointing this out earlier, she moved to Boston and then we never heard from her again.
In the current continuity, she moved out because of Spider Island and has since vanished. Well, she's like married, so she's like.
Right.
See ya.
Getting on, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else?
I don't. I mean, the Tick started around here, but it wasn't based in Boston, so I don't think that was Boston themed or anything
count
like that.
That
I, mean, what would, I don't know what it would be like. Chowder Man, which probably exists.
Right. Dr. Coolada.
Wow, guys, based on Dunkin' Donuts coffee culotta?
Is that?
Wow, you guys are out of heroes.
Cool.
Dr. Coolada's in town to chill out your drinks.
Surprised there isn't like a Green Monster comic or something like that.
There you go.
Oh.
Don't pronounce the R, though. It's yeah.
Or Green Monster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like Captain Duckboat. Right? No?
Nice, yeah. Oh, these are all heroes that wouldn't fight a lot of crime, I don't think.
No, Captain Duckboat would be like...
Or do you just mean the captain of the Duckboat?
Yeah, he's like my own personal superhero.
That's a personal hero.
Yeah.
Because you always wanted
to... I was like, hats off to you, sir.
Because it has wheels and it also floats.
Does it?
It's a Duckboat.
Oh, I just saw it driving around.
Oh, jeez.
It's
you know,
no,
I
it's
lived
functional.
Here for a
yeah.
year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll keep coming up with more Boston-based superheroes.
Yeah, that's not insulting to you guys, right? To be like, oh, there could be no heroes in this town. This town's a cesspool. Oh.
You're welcome for coming to your tiny city.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, we actually, I like Boston a lot.
Didn't you used to date a girl from Boston?
I did used to date a girl from Boston.
Oh, cool.
How many times have I mentioned that today?
Like 7 times.
I just want to remember a time when
you,
I dated.
You dated one other girl before you got married.
Yeah, it was a really nice time.
That's great.
Guys, let's move on with our next section, which we
like Alex's
call,
relationships.
Which we like to call the stack. About some comic books that came out this week that we particularly like. Yep. First thing we're going to talk about from DC Comics, Batman number 12.
Yeah,
I'll pass it over to you guys. So we've really enjoyed Batman a lot. Scott Snyder's run has been pretty great so far.
Pretty amazing.
I love this issue. I thought this was a great issue. Art in this issue is by Becky Cloonan, who shockingly is the first woman in history to draw Batman in the title Batman.
What?
Yeah, which is crazy, right?
It's weird.
It is
it's
amazing.
Crazy that it has taken this long for that to happen. But good
thing.
I'm glad it's Becky Cloonan because she's a fantastic artist.
Yeah.
This issue in particular has a really neat conceit to it. It takes
neat
the last.
Conceit?
I try to rhyme things as much as I possibly can. In the first 11 issues, there's been some stuff that's occasionally happened to Batman. You'd be like, huh, how did that happen? I don't understand how that worked. Turns out there's this girl named Harper who's been in the background the entire time in all 11 issues, weaving through events and helping out Batman even when he hasn't known. And here we find out her origin, what's going on with her, and she becomes a major character in the Bat universe. I think it's a really cool, really well-constructed story with some great art. I love this issue. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I originally picked it up and I was like, who the fuck is this? But I really enjoyed it. It was such a great story.
You said that on page one?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
And you were like, you know what? I should read on.
Yeah, I'm going to read on. I paid the money.
Just anytime you're introduced to a new character.
Yeah, he panics.
What the hell?
Well, you know Batman's on the cover, right?
Well, yeah, well, that's why I was confused. I opened it up and I was like, that's not Batman.
Let me get this straight. Not in the comic, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's upsetting.
It could have been Batman, though. He dresses in a lot of disguises. Remember Matches Malone?
Oh, boy. That looked exactly like Bruce Wayne.
Matches Malone?
Yeah, Matches Malone, for those of you who don't know, was Batman's, when he'd go to the bad parts of town, he'd put on a mustache and have a toothpick.
It was a match.
It was a match.
God, that's the name! He didn't have just a couple matches in his pocket.
Yeah, he had a toothpick and be like, my name is Smith.
Yeah.
Anyways,
and the mustache was just a squiggle, like a Charlie Brown t-shirt style squiggle.
Can we get
squiggle.
Back to the comic?
Sorry.
Nope. Yeah, okay.
Let's get back to the dramatic reading by Pete LePage of this comic, in which he read the first panel. Was like, what the fuck is this? Why isn't Batman punching someone yet?
Thank you for narrating my head. Anyways, this comic was fantastic. But then it had a change of artist and writer in the second half. Thing.
Well, this book, the last, I think, 6 pages are co-written by James Tinian, I think his name is.
Tinian the Fourth, yeah.
Tinian the Fourth,
who is a prince, Andy Clark.
A prince from the Game of Thrones. And he is Scott Snyder and he are working together on this new book called Talon.
Yeah, well, what the fuck? You can't finish a book? You can't, like, write the whole thing? You can only write half?
No,
you tap out and let somebody else take over?
Yeah, sure. That's exactly what happened. He was writing with his Petzl.
He got tired.
He's like, ah, cramp. And then James Cain was like, tag me in, bro.
Tag me in, bro. I'm ready.
And then he just started writing, and Scott was like, thanks, bro.
Yeah. Well, don't do that again.
Okay. Did you guys get a chance to look at this book, or have you been reading?
Yeah, I flipped
Batman
through. I didn't get to read it. So that is the same. It's the same narrative throughout. I saw the art change.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the art changed too, right?
Yeah.
Jarring.
Yes.
I just assumed it was a different story.
Can I mention something really quickly?
Nope. No, sure. You shouldn't.
Pete read this. He didn't notice the art change.
Well, he's caught up in the story.
Yeah, you're caught up in the story.
Because Batman showed up.
So you're getting upset about it, but you didn't notice it the first time.
Well. You know, I just don't like this tag team shit. You know, like...
You didn't know about this tag team shit.
It's one pamphlet. It's not...
You didn't know about the tag team shit.
Well, the second time around I did. I have to read things twice, guys.
So you got angry the second time. The first time you...
First time I loved it. Second time I was like, wait a second.
Slow down.
Yeah.
See what happens the third time.
Yeah.
You'd be like, meh.
Batman wasn't in this comic at all. I don't know if you noticed.
No, he was.
No.
Joe, you were saying about Batman, this comic?
I didn't get to read it all the way through, but yeah, the artwork is great. Becky Cloonan is amazing. There's like she's really good at characters. What?
The second artist.
The second artist is also great, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, don't leave them out. They were in it.
Wow, you are a strange.
But Becky Cloonan's the one to highlight, really. Sure. The first female artist in Batman, and I think she does a gorgeous job. So. I'm looking forward to reading it.
Did they make a big deal about that? Did they make an announcement? Did they say...
About Becky Cloonan?
Yeah.
I don't think they did, and then Scott Snyder pointed it out.
I think
on Twitter, he was like, hey, I just realized something, you guys. This is the first woman artist on Batman. I assume other women have drawn Batman at certain points, but I think at least...
No woman has ever drawn that pointy-eared cowl.
No.
In all of Earth.
Yeah, it's impossible.
No, women don't get those 2 points on top of his head.
Right.
No, but probably the main title, I would guess.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, this is a great comic, even if you don't regularly read
it. You know,
Batman.
It reminds me of the Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
Especially
the art.
The art and the story as well. What was the story where Batman was in the kid's basement? My personal childhood.
From the animated series?
Huh? From the animated series, yeah.
There's a bat in my basement.
There's a bat in my basement.
Thing, that's what it's called.
I have Batman in my basement, something like that.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that story, that episode specifically.
Cool. All right, let's move on with our next pick, which is from Image Comics, Dancer number 4.
Woo! Yeah,
all right,
yeah,
thanks.
Okay.
A couple of guys in the audience.
Yeah.
What do you think about Dancer?
Love this comic. So this is, it's 4 issues in. This is a story about a guy who's a sniper. He's been a sniper his whole life.
Not a dancer.
No. That's a real twist.
Confusing.
It's a real twist. But he's dating a dancer.
Ah.
Yeah.
There's the title.
There's the... That's not a twist. That's exposition. So he's dating this girl. Then she gets kidnapped by a clone of him who's also a sniper. And it's very good. And that's still sort of the only, like, supernatural element to it. Otherwise, it's very very grounded. The art is awesome. Very sort of real-world-y, I guess I would say.
And this is issue number 2, right?
4.
4.
4. yeah, because I haven't read the other ones, and I picked this up, and I was like, whoa.
I just want to mention Batman isn't in this one.
Yeah. But this is fantastic art. Really a great story. I was just a little thrown because it was like a sidebar. Someone was yelling at somebody like, you're a clone. I was like, wow, that's not something you just say to somebody. I was like, I'm missing a lot of shit here.
Yeah, you got to read the first 3.
Yeah.
That would be a cool insult to shout at someone.
Yeah, right? Like, you're just a clone of yourself.
What? No. You're a clone of yourself.
Have you guys checked out this book at all?
Yeah, I definitely flipped through it. It was kind of it reminded me a lot of because I'm not familiar with the series, so it reminded me a lot of, like, older Daredevil type stuff.
Yeah,
it was, like, very kind of...
Alex Maleev.
Yeah, you know, it was nice, in terms of the artwork, it was nice to see heavy, bloppy, you know, inks and not fine-line little things, so it was all
about
storytelling.
That's a great pull quote for the book. Bloppy, like
Bloppy.
I thought he was going to say, reminds me of Black Swan.
The movie?
Because there's a dancer.
There's one dancer?
Yeah. And it's dark. I've never seen the movie.
Oh, really? I was going to say, I can't imagine you ever being like, I got to see Black Swan.
This is a great book. Definitely pick it up. Let's move on with our last pick, which is Spider-Men, number 4 from Marvel Comics.
Spider-Men.
For those of you who aren't up to speed on this, there are two different Spider-Men, if, in case you couldn't tell from the title. One is the regular Peter Parker Spider-Man. The other one is Miles Morales, who's taken over from the dead Peter Parker in the Ultimate Universe. They're meeting by a typical crossing universes type thing. What makes this issue in particular very good, Justin?
Thank you. Wow. Topic of conversation.
Justin, talk.
The first three issues, actually, I was sort of like, oh, this is all right. Nothing too crazy good. But this issue in particular is amazing. I think this is Bendis sort of at his best, where adult Peter Parker from the regular Marvel Universe is talking to Aunt May and Gwen Stacy from the Ultimate Universe, and they're like, you just died. Everyone's upset. But the emotional moments are awesome.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I got choked up. It
yeah,
was really
and you
powerful.
Have barely any emotions, so
I
that's
don't
amazing.
Have any.
Yeah. Your black heart was touched by these panels.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is very, like, it's very emotional. It's really just well written. The moments are really well done, and the art especially works to support that in such a nice way.
Yeah, yeah. It was really powerful, really well done. I'm hoping there's going to be a third world. Well, we'll get to meet Otis Anderson, the other Spider-Man.
What?
What?
You know, there's Miles Morales, Peter Parker, Otis Anderson.
Who's Otis Anderson?
I don't know. I figured they keep, you know, they're kind of going in order. I figured, you know, why not throw another guy in there with the two O's, just like two P's and two M's, right?
Otis Anderson is two O's?
Yeah.
Just Otis Anderson.
Somebody's paying attention.
Spidey's on Infinite Earths. Just yeah, yeah. Spider-Man.
You know what? We've done this show for a long time. That may be the craziest thing you've ever said.
That's good. That's good.
That's good. Really pushing that Boston town is affecting yeah. you.
We're all going to be shocked when it turns out Otis Anderson is in Spider-Man number 5.
No one has ever had the name O. Anderson. That's not a name.
Well, they're going to start.
I like you really latch onto the consonants of the Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, that's it for the stack. All right, guys. That really was a crazy thing to get to. We're going to move on with our next section, which is our favorite section. Because so you guys make it up, it's your audience questions. For that, we're going to go over to Justin and Tyler.
Yeah, do it, buddy.
Okay.
And I should mention, before you get into the questions, we have some awesome prizes
amazing
for the first
prizes.
Couple of questions provided by Joe Canonis. There's some fantastic prints. Where can people get those prints, Joe?
If you just contact me directly through my blog, it's joepanonis.blogspot.com. You can see my email on there. And we'll PayPal it. You'll figure it out.
Also,
cool. And how much are prints usually?
I sell those. I sell these at conventions. And, yeah, prints are $15.
Or three easy payments of $5.
Right.
Yeah, yes, let's right. break it down.
$4.99.
Great.
Question number one. With Ben Affleck possibly directing the Justice League movie, which member of the Justice League would you like to see him play?
Snapper Carr.
Excuse me?
Snapper Carr.
Okay.
No,
did
nobody?
You just go crazy like Pete did?
No. Snapper Carr. He was the guy. He's like the yeah. Rick Jones for the Justice League.
No, yeah, no.
Okay. I take it back.
But it's good. He would never be in the movie because no one knows who that is.
Yep. Absolutely. What do you guys think? Who would you want to see Ben Affleck play
in the Justice League
I think
movie?
Maybe Martian Manhunter because he's stilted, so Ben Affleck could pull that off.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Ben Affleck also is on record as liking Oreos.
What?
There you go. I got that.
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
What was that?
I don't know. What happened here?
What has Boston done to us?
Everyone's losing.
I think you should play Otis Anderson.
Oh, my God.
Justin, do you want to see
so
him play?
So funny in my head.
Put him in as Batman. He's directing it. Give him a main
what?
Role. He's running shit.
You he needs to be Batman?
Here's the thing. It's what's that?
Bad idea? Worse idea. That.
Here's the thing. He was in Daredevil. Not a popular movie.
What?
But you got to give him another shot. It's like, you know in the movie The Mighty Ducks?
Uh-huh.
They were sort of...
Just trying to go off on a crazy rant.
Yes, I got to sort of keep up with you two. They were down and out, and then they came back. They struggled through it, and then they won the local like competition.
You didn't even
Then they
see
faced off against Iceland, and then they beat Varsity in Mighty Ducks 3.
All right.
Was that the plot of Mighty Ducks 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's all in continuity.
So what does that have to do with Ben Affleck?
Let's turn to you,
alternate universe, my guess, somewhere.
Who would you want to see Ben Affleck play in a Justice League movie?
Ben Affleck, the half-duck man.
Let's see him play the Affleck duck.
The usher in the theater? I don't know.
You just wanted to stay away
kinda,
from Justice League?
Yeah, maybe that big starfish thing. I don't know.
Starro?
He could be the voice of Starro.
Somewhere in the background.
How about King Faraday? I could see him do that.
Yeah?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Interesting.
Do you guys, I mean, we're going to talk about this a little later, but let's chat about it right now. What do you guys think about Ben Affleck directing Justice League? I mean, I feel like everybody's knee-jerk reaction is, Daredevil, come on. But on the same note, he's directed a couple of good movies, The Town, Gone Baby Gone, I finally remembered it after the entire day. Argos, this movie that he has coming up from Warner Brothers, is also supposed to be very good, people have said. Do you think he's the right guy for the job, or should they just go with somebody else?
I'm not necessarily against it. I mean, I saw The Town. I thought it was a good movie. Yeah. I don't necessarily want to see a really heavy, gritty superhero film from DC. I think we already got those in the Nolan films.
So you want to see like a goofy bad movie?
No, I don't want to see I think there's a happy medium between like the like exhaustively ultra real Nolan movies and Schumacher. Like I think, and I, that was that's maybe the Avengers.
So like, you're saying we need Christopher Nolan and Joel Schumacher to team up and co-direct?
If we could get those guys to mate somehow,
yeah.
Like,
yeah. I want like
DNA.
a really gritty real world explanation for bat nipples.
Yeah. Right. And if no one's...
It's just so cold in the Batcave.
Yeah.
So cold.
When he was casting the bat armor, it was so cold.
All right,
so.
I think we got this.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get a print from Joe. Let's get the next question.
Nice. What do you think your favorite character's favorite food is?
So your
favorite character is Cypher.
Right. His favorite food is
the man who knows
food of knowledge.
Wow.
So
fruit
what's
of knowledge? Apples? Apples.
Cool.
Yeah. Delicious.
And your favorite character, I assume, is the Punisher?
The Punisher.
Or Wolverine, perhaps?
His favorite food is just shooting bullets in his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, just gunpowder?
Yeah, gunpowder and beer, probably.
Cool.
Nice. Tough diet to
live
on.
Yeah, what about you? Your favorite character is...
Starman.
Uh-huh. His favorite food is salad.
True, salad and coffee. Though I have a new favorite in Otis Anderson. And I think... what do the people eat in the world where Otis Anderson lives, Pete?
It's all...
donuts
jelly beans.
Jelly beans!
In the future.
So, of course, he likes jelly beans. You guys?
Gents?
Favorite character?
I think my all-time favorite character as a kid, anyway, was Rom Space Knight. And I'd like to think he... likes brownies.
Oh, good choice. How did he get them in his grill?
I don't know. That's why he never saw it.
You made
that
slurry,
or he ate
probably,
the Twinkies from the ads.
I can picture Rom like slaving over a stove all day, making a big batch of brownies, being like, "Oh man, let me eat some brownies."
sad.
I guess Batman, and I think the only thing I've ever seen Batman eat is I think it's vichyssoise. And it's what Alfred gives him in Batman Returns.
It's a cold French soup.
He doesn't like it. I bet he comes around to it. He didn't like it. He spit it out at first.
There's actually two other things I can think of Batman eating. There's been very specific things with Batman and food. One, I think it was a Kevin Smith comic where he talked about how he likes to make steak. Like, and he is really good at making steak and really meticulous at making steak, but he never eats it. And he's calling some criminal on the phone, and that's how he terrorizes him somehow. I don't know. It's a terrible scene.
Cool story arc.
Yeah. And the other
I love
one
a phone
is,
call fight.
There's
the
Batman
book.
Nachos thing. We've actually talked about this on the show at San Diego. But there was a meme where Batman ate nachos on Batman Brave and the Bold.
Yeah.
And, that's it.
I went crazy. You can Google
that. There you go. Batman nachos on the internet.
Yeah. Who asked that one?
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get a print from Joe. Let's get the next question.
What is your comic book guilty pleasure, something you read but are slow to admit to?
Ooh, slow to admit to.
Yeah.
Let's start over there.
Don't
Talk.
Want
you
to
have
admit.
Any guilty pleasures?
For comics? I don't know. I mean, I've been reading a lot of my kids' books, and he's been reading stuff like Ook and Gluck. Which is, you know, or Diary of a Wimpy Kid type stuff. And it's one of those things where, you know, every night we sit down and we read in bed, and I kind of like it. It's kind of weird.
Like your kid's been asleep for an hour and you're still going.
You're like, oh, how's this going
to
end?
He's like, I'm going to go to sleep. Shh. Reading.
So when you read to your child in bed, you just quietly read right. while your child is like, go to sleep, waiting. I'm reading.
He's got an iPad.
Oh, nice. Sorry, you're missing the point.
Joe, what about you? Any guilty pleasures?
I don't know. I just bought the trades for the Death and Return of Superman, which most people kind of hate, I think. I'm sort of excited about them. But I wouldn't necessarily be like, yes, these are the best books. Remember Steel?
Yeah, that's true. I think that counts.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah,
it's tough to think of a guilty pleasure because I feel like we talk about books, terrible books and good books so much that I've become pretty inured to like what actually is bad or what is inappropriate to
just
talk about.
Just give us the dirty pleasure.
No, the only thing I can think about, and it isn't even really that embarrassing, but there's been some really terrible runs on The Flash, and I've pretty much stuck with that title all the way through. I've never given it up.
But now The Flash is awesome. So.
Now The Flash is very good, but there have been points when it's been very, very bad, and I haven't wanted to talk about it, but I can't stop reading it.
Currently, mine is Legion Lost by DC. It's not the greatest, but I like it somehow.
Somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
I don't
driving
know.
A nail into my hand.
I mean, you know, I get made fun of a lot for my pull lists.
Yeah, they're all guilty pleasures.
Yeah.
You're just guilty.
I am a sucker for anything, especially I like to just look at the covers. Anything with a gun, I'm going to pick it up.
Wow, you must be looking forward to Green Lantern Zero then.
Oh, am I?
He's got a gun.
Yeah, there's a new Green Lantern that DC is introducing that has a gun. And actually, Geoff Johns gave a pretty reasonable explanation for it.
He used his ring to make it?
No, he didn't. What he said was that when he's first introduced the Green Lantern, they're like, hey, why are you carrying a gun? And he says, oh, our rings run out, right? How do you, you know, defend yourself and fight when your rings run out? And they're like, I don't know. And that's it. Okay, maybe it's not a great explanation.
Wow.
Yeah, cool.
That could be an explanation for him carrying anything.
That's like, why I carry a sandwich.
My ring might run out, so I need this CD of Third Eye Blind, Semi-Charmed.
Who asked that one?
All right, you're going to get a print from Joe. Let's go to the next question.
Joe, have you ever cosplayed maybe as Sabretooth? Very targeted question.
Oh, there you go.
Wow, very pointed. The answer is yes. actually in college, our last year at school, Paulo Rivera, we went to the same school. Draws for Marvel. Daredevil this past year. We convinced our graduating class to go. There's like a costume ball at the end of the year. And we convinced everyone to dress up as X-Men characters. And Paul and I each made Immaculate Wolverine and Sabretooth costumes, respectively. And I was Sabretooth. Jim Lee era. They're on my blog. You can find them. They're pretty embarrassing.
Cool. Did you leave his girlfriend dead in his room for him to find later?
What?
Like Sabretooth.
What?
No, a U.S. Marshal asked us to ask.
Actually, I'm curious. Has anybody else had any interesting cosplay that they've done?
I went for Halloween as Lowell from Wings once.
Yeah. Cool. Person who asked
cool.
that. Wait, no, I'm going to come back to that in a second. You get a copy of Secret Asian Man. Lowell from Wings?
Great character.
Great costume?
No. It was a jumpsuit with a piece of masking tape that had Lowell written on it.
Oh.
This wasn't like worst Halloween costume. It was cosplay.
Is there a big difference between those two things?
All right. Yeah,
gotcha.
Pete, what about you? Dressing as a Punisher fan for this show?
That's
every
a great
week.
Idea. Yeah.
That's what you're doing right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never really... Yeah.
Changed your look?
Yeah.
You brush your hair in a nice way tonight.
Cool. Talk, what about you? Any...
Remember, I used to play Star Trek a lot, the original cast.
Of course.
One guess who I used to be all the time.
Spock.
No. Thank you, though.
Yeah.
I always ended up as Sulu.
Yeah.
I also had a yellow shirt, and we were kind of poor, so. Sorry to bring it down.
Easy costume. So the real costume was just being Asian.
But in my mind, we were happy.
Poor people only buy yellow shirts? What was the...
They're always left behind.
They were dirty white shirts.
First one I thought of, I think it was in sixth grade at the library's Science Fiction Fantasy Festival. I dressed as Orko. Nice.
Oh, my nice. God.
And I won a copy of the Dark Crystal soundtrack on record.
What?
Yeah.
I think, first off, you
gotta see a picture of you dressed as Orko.
First off, you
never.
You pity won that. And second off, that's a series of the dorkiest things you could ever say.
Yeah,
it was a library contest. You won as Orko, and you won the Dark Crystal soundtrack. Yeah. That's
also
insane.
Also, it wasn't a science fiction fantasy festival. I just dressed as Orko to buy myself a record. That's not true.
Even worse. Next question. Oh, who
asked that last one?
No, you already gave out a prize. It was the same question.
We have one more?
Two more.
Who wins the Olympics in archery? Green Arrow, Hawkeye, or Katniss Everdeen?
Ah, good question. Lots of archers.
Yeah. Have they? I don't know if they've ever archered.
You say Green Arrow.
Nice. Why do you say Green Arrow?
Just because, you know, he's got a little swagger. If I feel like he's more confident in that way to win it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Confidence. Any other thoughts?
Sure, Green Arrow. I'll give it to him.
That's the spirit.
Right. He's got the word arrow in his name.
It's helpful, though. Hawkeye is about having good aim.
Mm. Right.
And but Katniss, Niss is like miss, so she's no good.
What? What does that even mean?
I don't know. That's we're just breaking it down logically.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get a prize.
I think the answer is Hawkeye, this gentleman here.
Oh, there you go. All right, let's get the next one.
Will comics still be collectible in the iPad era? Why would kids today buy back issues?
Fuck.
I don't know if you guys have any thought about this. I think there is still something to physically owning stuff. You know, I see when I have a Stoop sale or when I pass by anybody else's Stoop sale and they have comic books out, kids are still really interested in them. You know, they certainly can get them at the iPad. I don't know if that'll change in a couple of years. But there's something fun about physically flipping through it, and particularly for kids, just reading it over and over and over until it falls apart. So I don't think we're necessarily going to lose that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, like, there's a tactile experience that is important for young kids. Mm-hmm. That... Maybe you don't want to trust with an iPad. And, yeah. Buy the 5-cent issues for that.
I just don't see people going crazy like bagging them and boarding them like they used to. I think maybe that era maybe
iPads.
Is gone. Or people
well, you could
who,
save them in like
own.
A really safe file.
Right. I love the idea of bagging and boarding iPads.
Yeah.
Most expensive habit of all time.
Just the screen's always on your comics rack.
Any other thoughts?
It's sad that...
But you're a huge collector.
Yeah, I love feeling comics, holding them.
You love feeling them all over your body.
You added that.
No, you said feeling them.
Yeah, I like... fuck you. Who asked that one?
Yeah, you're going to get some prizes. Do we have any more questions?
No, that's it.
That's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Justin.
Hey, happy to help.
All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek. Talk about in the Week in Geek, where we talk about other geek culture topics, other little news items. We were going to talk about the Ben Affleck on Justice League thing.
We've covered it.
As a news item. Well, I'm curious, actually. There was one thing we didn't cover. If not Ben Affleck, who do you want to direct Justice League?
I saw an idea online. Yeah. This artist, I know Jordan Gibson on his Twitter, was just like, hey, guys, how about Bruce Timm? Which I thought was sort of genius.
Oh, interesting.
So many really successful interpretations. Of the DC characters.
That's
like,
actually
on
really
TV.
Yeah.
Maybe Ben Affleck's playing Bruce Timm director.
Oh,
interesting.
You know what also be good that made me think of Brad Bird would be kind of cool as well because he has that animation experience as well. Mission Impossible 4 was awesome and the action was great in that and it was huge. So he might be able to take it on as well.
Yeah. Bruce Timm, though, especially like that, he has like the fun vibe that I think Joss Whedon brought to Avengers, which would be really helpful for Justice League.
Yeah. The other question. We talked about it on our last show on Tuesday. Joss Whedon is now directing Avengers 2. He's also working on a TV series. Joss Whedon's contract with Marvel expires towards the end of 2015, which has led people, given the timeline, to think Avengers 2 is probably coming out May sometime 2015. They figured that out. Justice League also apparently may happen in 2015. Do you want to see a Justice League movie and Avengers 2 in the same year?
I want to watch them at the same time.
Yeah? Split screen?
Split screen, IMAX, just go crazy, lose it.
You want
die.
It to be like Paula Abdul and that cat for the Opposites Attract video?
Oh, wow.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I was thinking that exact thing. Yeah.
Two wow. sets of specialty 3D glasses.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blood would come out of my eyes.
Cool. All right. Other thing, Marvel has been releasing a lot of information about their Marvel Now project. For those of you who don't know, they're not rebooting their universe, but they're releasing a lot of new number ones that are going on. Pete, the one thing that I wanted to talk to you about, there's a new Deadpool team happening. When I told you this earlier on today, you got pretty upset.
Yeah, because Daniel Way's doing an amazing job with Deadpool, and I don't ever want to see him leave.
Well, but the new team is Jerry Duggan and Brian Posehn, who wrote The Last Christmas, and art by Tony Moore. How do you feel about that?
Okay, that's an amazing team. Sure. Yep. Okay.
But, wow, crisis averted.
Yeah, I just, I mean, come on. He's been. It's like the best Deadpool ever.
You got me.
No, nothing? Nah. Nothing?
No,
I'm
right.
Not into
no,
it. I'm not into it.
Come yeah. on. It's hilarious.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. You guys, any thoughts on the Marvel Now thing in general? Or?
I just saw a cover today for, I guess, Mike Allred is doing the new Fantastic Four.
Yes.
And one of the characters is named Miss Thing. Mm-hmm. I am completely on board for that.
Yeah,
this
and
is
it's just like the Thing's body, but the head's cut off, and there's a woman in there, like she's wearing it as a suit.
Yeah, the idea I was reading about wow. it earlier today. Matt Fraction is writing, Mike Allred's doing the art, and it's a supermodel that Johnny Storm is dating, and he basically she's back at their house, the Baxter Building, and he
house.
Says, "Listen, we gotta go away. We're gonna go on this time traveling thing. You gotta be here. You gotta guard the Baxter Building. Here, take this Thing suit." And so she's just standing there being like, what's going on? And that's pretty much the whole idea. It sounds
that's
like
awesome.
A ton of fun.
Sounds crazy.
Yeah, yeah very
ass.
Excited about it. All right. And that's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
All right.
We are going to move on with our next section, which is trivia.
Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free to That's Entertainment, the local comic book shop here in Boston. Who would like $25 free? Simply, yes, you, first hand up guy. Come on down.
First hand up guy.
Come on down. Come on down.
Come on.
Why don't you just come on down? Faster, faster. Come on down.
All right.
Oh,
he's got it.
No, come on over. Come up on stage.
It's nice up here.
Nice. Wow. Right. Well okay. dressed. Thank you for doing that.
Okay, what is your name, sir?
Robert.
Robert, audience Robert.
Hello.
So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, go 3 for 3. All
right.
You get the gift card.
All right.
Today's trivia is on Secret Asian Man.
Uh-oh. Okay. Shoot. Sorry, I haven't read it yet.
That's all right. You'll be okay, all right?
We'll work it
here
out.
Here we go. Question number one. Thank you for the music. Use the music, it helps. Okay. Secret Asian Man was a weekly strip starting in, is it A, 1999, B, 1996, or is it C, Earth 2? So it's either A or it's B.
I'm going to go with A.
A is correct.
Smart.
The strip has been in all of these publications except, is it A, San Jose Mercury News, B, Boston's Weekly Dig, or C, Mojo's Tiger Beat? Which one of these is probably not real, so would be the correct answer?
I'm going to guess C.
C is correct!
Nice!
Mojo's Tiger Great Beat hit. Is not actual, but if it was, I'm sure Secret Asian Man would be in there, because it's awesome. All right. What is the name of Secret Asian Man's newborn son? Is it A, Shintaro, B, Bob, or C, Asian Orange? Yeah, but it wouldn't be correct, so I would go with the second one.
Okay, I'm thinking Bob.
Bob, yes,
like
that was correct.
Peels.
$25 free. Congratulations.
Yeah,
nice.
All right, good job. Somebody get that phone. Guys.
No, that was the winner bell.
Oh, was that the winner bell?
Winner chicken dinner, yeah.
We had a winner bell?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
new.
Yeah, it's a new Boston thing we did.
Oh, cool. I love that winner bell. All right. Guys, usually before we go, we say tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. Of course, it's not. But still go to your local comic book store. We recommend you get it. That's Entertainment because they were nice enough to donate a gift card today. For you guys, what have you been reading lately? Joe, what have you been reading that you've been enjoying that people should check out?
I just started reading, actually, Ultimate Spider-Man. I'm a little bit behind. Like, some, I'll generally go to the store every week and buy something, but I won't necessarily read it for months at a time. So I just started, finally got around to reading the Miles Morales arc on that. Mm. And I just read the first volume. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was really great. I love the way that it was structured. There's no great reveal of the character until the very end. And there's just like a lot of great character work. And the art is really nice as well. And then I guess regularly, I read Wonder Woman by Cliff Chang.
Hell yeah. Very good.
And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Well, between now and the end of the year, I've got a bunch of covers coming out. For Marvel mostly, but some Boom stuff, Adventure Time, Planet of the Apes, some Captain Marvel, Venom, Avengers stuff coming up. And then the Black Canary Zatanna book will come out sometime next year.
Cool. Awesome. Very cool. Talk, what about you? What have you been reading lately?
What I've been reading lately, I mean, it's definitely not a current book, but it was one of those things where we suddenly came across the full set of, remember Bone by Jeff Smith?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, let's give this a try, because I'd never read it. Started reading it to my kid. It's a fantastic series.
That's so good.
Nice, man.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's kind of probably the most recent collection I've been reading.
Cool. Are you reading it to your kid, or are you reading it next to your kid?
Yes, I'm reading it without my kid.
And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Let's see. I mean, coming up soon, I guess, there's a local group, I don't know, you guys might know, called the Boston Comics Roundtable, and they're putting out, every year they do this thing called Hellbound. And this year, you know, I decided to do a page in there. So it was kind of a nice departure. Completely not Secret Agent Man, completely dark, completely zombie-ridden, bloody, and gory. So it was kind of a nice little switch-up. So that should be coming out this, you know, Halloween.
Cool.
And then the trade paper, you know, the graphic novel. So that'll probably be a good year, though. So.
Awesome.
All right, very cool. A couple of things before we go. If you are in New York or if you're listening to this at home, next Tuesday we're going to have guest David Gallagher is going to be talking about The Only Living Boy. Nice. And also comedian Winston Noel is going to be on the show. Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yep. Check out our website, comicbookclublive.com, or you can go to Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Joe for being on the show. Scott on tech.
Scott the Boo.
We want to thank Zach and everybody at Improv Boston. That's Entertainment. Raz for helping us with the gift certificate. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. Thank you, Boston. Good night.
Good night, guys. Thank you.